Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
A producer nowadays can actually be a one-man army.
Ordinarily, I would spend the next 2 hours telling you to drop and give me various numbers.
They are horrible.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we go on KGO, the special podcast series with Dr. Paul Joannides, and he is the author of Guide to Getting It On. That's right. This is one of the books that college students get that they never sell. They keep it forever. It's a good idea. Dr. Paul Joannides, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, good evening. How's it going in San Francisco?
Well, it's going great, and I love that we're doing podcast because we can really talk frankly about sex.
Well, that's a fine thing.
Yes, I think it's a fantastic thing. And we said this the last time that you were on the air with us. You are a doctor, and you know what you're talking about, and we're going to get to American sex lives. And, you know, as we begin this, I just wonder, as an American, with all the politics going on in the background, how sexually frustrated or satisfied are we as a country?
Well, let's get to the real issue. How many people in South Carolina this week are watching porn, but, you know, claiming that they're really good Republicans?
Well, Republicans like to have sex, too. So I would imagine they're probably watching just as much porn. That's an interesting notion, though, that you bring up. I mean, do you find, especially with sex and porn, that there's a difference between the conservatives and the liberal line of thinking?
You know, apparently in some of the kind of tangential research they've done, they actually find that porn usage is higher in red states or more conservative states.
I'd read that as well.
Yeah.
What people consider to be even kinkier or darker sexual practices are more practiced by people who identify as Republican.
Yeah, but if we did use conservative or liberal as causality of porn, then that would mean no one in San Francisco is looking at porn this week.
And well, we know that's not true either.
We know that's not true.
It's made here over at kink.com.
Yes, of course.
Why don't you have the producers of kink.com come into the show?
Oh, they do.
We have, yes. And we're going to have them again soon.
more of it. Yes,
we can. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we can't get enough of that. So to the point, and I think, you know, when we talk about conservative notions, and they don't have to be political, but people who watch porn, would you say in the research that you've done that they're looking at things that they would not normally act out with another person, maybe perhaps their spouse, their wife, their husband, their partner?
You know, that is such a complex issue. The world of what we watch in porn and the world of what we actually do are two, for a lot of people, they're very different, aren't they? It's really hard to say. In the old days, before porn was a click away, before, you know, we had computers on our laps, we'd ask what's your favorite fantasy to guys, sexual fantasy, and it was generally something that they had done with their partner,
right?
And they'd fantasize about that when they'd masturbate. You know, now, in our survey, I'd say upwards of 90% of males say they masturbate to porn or within 30 minutes of watching porn. So we have kind of this change in the intellectual deck chairs.
Right, so people are masturbating to other people's fantasies, so to speak.
Yeah, and I can't tell you if that's a good thing or a bad thing. As a sex educator, I would strongly encourage people to masturbate to their own fantasies, not to something that some porn producer has created, especially when porn is such a poor sex educator.
Yeah. And as a woman, I mean, it seems to me that more men create porn, and that's why women, I would think, would tend to be less satisfied in the bedroom because they're getting the man, some porn producer's version of sex instead of what they would prefer or even something that they could discuss with their partner.
Well, let me tell you two things along that line. One of them is that porn is pretty well, it's the what the penis wants, the penis gets. Mm-hmm. And remember that if you're watching porn, foreplay is probably one of the most boring things in the world to watch, especially if you're trying to get off. It's like you fast forward, you keep fast forwarding to the good stuff. Or that was in the days of VCR. Now you just click on something that's more explicit. So foreplay is probably one of the most important things in real life sex. But if a guy has a porn model, he's not going to do much foreplay. Plus, he's probably worried that he's going to lose his erection if he does 20 minutes of foreplay.
Ooh, really? Why would he think that?
Well, erections come and go. And if you're kissing and making out for 20 minutes as opposed to just for 5 minutes, you know, erection can come and go. But it's not the end of the earth.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
And that said, lately, I mean, in hetero and gay porn, it seems to me that couples frequently go straight to anal sex. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a quick opening. There might be oral sex. And then it's, I guess, with the women, you know, straight sex, it's to just, you know, having, I don't know, your normal sex. But the straight to anal thing, it seems to be a huge thing. Do you notice that? And
well, the other thing is, it's interesting in porn, anal sex, there's no lube.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You just plow that huge old penis up some woman's rear end, and you don't ask her either. You just kind of flip her over and kaboom, there it is.
Yeah.
Good luck trying that in real life, huh?
Right.
Exactly. We learned that from you last time, or you pointed it out to me, and I was like, God, you're right. There's no, does this feel good? Is this okay? May I? It's
yeah, but,
just there.
Well, we were thinking about the questions, you know, that we wanted to talk about. And one of these was, you know, with the straight to anal thing, as we saw on your site, has this affected women's hookups? But I'm thinking with guys, too, they think, you know, it's like, OK, take off your clothes, have oral sex. Now we're having anal sex. And I just it seems to be the nonstop format.
Well, and the model for oral sex in porn is basically you stick your tongue out, wag it a few times, and boom. Then you flip her over and have vaginal sex or anal sex, or you ram your penis into her mouth. In porn, you really don't get an idea of what going down on a woman is about, mm-hmm. especially because in porn, they have to have it so that the camera angle is always looking at her crotch and able to see what's under there, which if you're really doing oral sex, you're covering that up with your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something that was fascinating, a friend who's a porn producer, was, and she's one of the rare women porn producers. She has a favorite, one of her favorite actresses. For one of her porn series, she's insisted that everyone on the set actually have to have an orgasm. A real one in real life, not fake one like they usually do in porn.
Awesome.
And this one actress told her, "Well, I'm sorry, I really can't do this shoot for you." Well, she, you know, my friend kept asking her, "Well, why? What's your problem?" And she said, "Well, you want me to have a real orgasm." And she said, "In real life, it takes me a lot of foreplay, and then a guy has to give me 45 minutes." a very focused oral sex before I can have an orgasm. I don't have an orgasm from intercourse. You know, I don't mind penises, but that's not how I come. But in the porn that she does, she's giving everybody the idea that she comes after 5 minutes of intercourse.
Sure. So that's the fantasy versus what you're talking about, the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Big difference.
And which is not to say that 45 minutes of foreplay is bad. I mean, that's where the real fun is. I mean, sex is awesome. It should last a long time. You know, to me, it's like, do you want a short roller coaster ride or do you want it to go on for a good long time to where you're all excited all over the place?
Yeah, exactly. And so what does it matter if your erection kind of comes and goes? Who cares? You know, talk to your partner about it. Maybe ways after 20 or 30 minutes, he can help you get, you know, hard again.
Exactly.
Or if not, hey, some women's best orgasms don't involve a penis. So there's lots of things you can do as opposed to focusing and using a porn model. Plus, what guys usually don't know is porn actors will often take a near toxic dose of Viagra or boner drugs.
Well, is that right?
Yeah, that's not good. Let me reset here for a second. We're talking with, and we're doing the special podcast series with Dr. Paul Joannides, and his book is The Guide to Getting It On. And
right next to my bed.
There you go. And we have everything linked at KGORadio.com if you want to hook up with him. Speaking of hookups, I wanted to talk about sexual hurdles that exist for different age groups. So, you know, we can start with the younger, the millennials, and then move to the Xers and the boomers.
Okay. Let's do that.
Let's start with the millennials. Sexual hurdles.
Okay. Sexual hurdles. Now, the millennials, what age group are you talking
about? Yeah, let's start with teenagers when you're coming of age, so to speak.
Well, that might be PE, premature ejaculation.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of the issues that teenagers have, young adults have too, people in their 20s and 30s. One of the first things, though, for young women, is we keep finding out the younger they are, the less they know their body. Mm. And how can you tell a lover what to do? How can you know whether he's doing something good or not? And how can you help signal him if you don't know yourself? But a lot of teenage girls are way more focused on shaving their pubic hair correctly than they are on masturbating or learning about their sexual selves.
Oh, isn't that the sad truth? And then what about for boys?
I think, again, it's interesting. They're by the time they're now 8 to 10 or 12, they're watching a fair amount of porn. Mm-hmm. So there's some concerns about dick size because who can stack up to that? And there's again concerns about getting hard quickly and getting in whatever orifice you're going to get that thing into.
And I'm guessing that young boys are starting to take a razor to themselves as well. I mean, nobody seems to have bodily hair in porn, do they?
I think guys will trim. I don't think a lot of guys are shaving.
Okay.
Maybe, but from our survey, we don't. For a while, I asked, do you trim your pubic hair, and the guys' answers were way up there, a large percentage. But then I thought, well, wait a minute, I don't think they're doing what women do. Mm-hmm. So I said, can you please describe what you mean by trim your pubic hair? And they say, well, you know, once a month I might trim it down a little bit, or trim it down. Well, I'm thinking a lot of girls don't go once a month and do a little trim. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of shaving going on now, so it's different with guys and with girls. I mean, maybe some of them are shaving all the way.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's move demographically to, let's say, 35 to 54, that age group.
Don't skip the 20s.
Well, I think he hit it, into the teen, into the 20s. As we begin to age, 35 and 54, things become a little bit different. I think everybody comes in tune with their own bodies. But you're the doctor. You tell me.
Well, it's interesting what we're seeing with a lot of guys in their 30s, with a fair number. I don't know what it is, a lot. But for them, the connection with a partner, the emotional connection, is becoming more and more important. And that tends to a lot of times be tied in with levels of sexual satisfaction, assuming their partner still wants to have sex with them. And that's an interesting thing. I think women are still learning about their bodies, but I think in their 30s, they finally learned what they do and don't want with a guy. But at all ages, we still see huge problems with being able to tell a partner what you do and don't want.
Right. But at the same time, in that age group, are they starting to find that monogamy isn't necessarily monotony? Because the longer you're with someone, the more comfortable you do feel about exploring and communicating and trying new things?
I don't really have a line on that. Mm-hmm. We're starting to, I think, see more and more open relationships, but I don't know how well those do and don't work.
You were bringing up relationships, and let me ask you this, because I find this very interesting in your study. Let's talk about this. So some women masturbate more when they're in a satisfying sexual relationship than when they're single. And with guys, it's the opposite. What's the deal there?
I can attest to this one.
Yeah, tends to be. And I think it has to do, see, women's sexuality is in some ways very similar to guys, but it can be very, very different. The way a woman becomes aroused, the way her genitals fill with blood, and the guy, it's pretty darn quick. Boom, boner. But a woman can take 15 to 20 minutes of arousal before her genitals are really optimally ready to have intercourse, or for a guy, optimally ready for a guy to go down on her. So there are real differences there. In terms of masturbation, sometimes when a woman is in a relationship where she really feels valued by a partner, and she sees a sparkle in his eye, that makes her feel more turned on. That cranks up her libido. And so even though the sex might be incredibly satisfying, it also might make her be horny more often, and she might want to masturbate more often. Again, this doesn't happen with all women, but women's masturbation patterns are really all over the map, where guys are pretty predictable.
Yes, but I was going to ask you about, masturbation in a relationship. Do you find, by the way, we're speaking with Dr. Paul Ioannidis, and The Guide to Getting It On is the name of the book. You can find all the information at kgoradio.com on our special podcast series. With women masturbating and men masturbating in a relationship, whether you're married or you're just LTRs, do you think honesty is the best policy, or is it just okay that you do your own thing and not have to discuss it with your partner? No, honestly. Because, look, I mean, I've been in plenty of relationships and there's masturbation going on. I don't feel the need to discuss it with the other person as long as I'm having a healthy sex life.
Wait, are you seriously getting the notion that you should tell your partner, hey, I masturbated earlier?
I think that sometimes those questions come up, so let's ask the doctor. So
I am shocked.
So is that, you tell me, what are your feelings?
There are young women who, and I guess women of all ages at times, who feel like, if my partner's masturbating, it means I'm not doing my job.
Right.
He's not, into me. And I think it would be really nice to get rid of that notion. Wouldn't it be cool if you were able to say, hey, well, why don't you snuggle up next to me when you masturbate, or let's masturbate together. But masturbation tends to be the most private thing that we do. And so you have to really feel comfortable with your partner before you're willing to say, let's masturbate together.
And I apologize, Drex. That's where I was coming from, was like, why would you tell someone you masturbated? Because it is the most private thing.
Right, and I'm glad you put it that way, because, yes, I've been in relationships where it's like, oh, well, that's happening. Well, then I'm not satisfying you. It's like, no, you don't understand. Anytime this thing tingles and it goes north, I'm taking care of it.
Yeah, and that's an important point to make as well, because I know
it has nothing to do with our relationship.
Yeah, per what Dr. Paul was saying, I've seen things in Cosmo, et cetera, where women are just flipped out because they discovered in a man's internet cache that there was a porn site.
Right.
And I dated a guy and I saw pictures of women of different, who didn't look like me, et cetera, on his computer. And I didn't flip out because I was just like, look, he's just, that's a fantasy. I can completely separate it from myself. He's just enjoying a little strange on the side. It wasn't an actual human being. I'm pretty secure in the relationship that he's not going outside of it for reals. And so people need to know that it's okay to go outside of the relationship in your head and have a little fantasy and a little play and a little masturbation just to have some fun by yourself.
Absolutely. Now, we had a question on my survey for a couple of years, actually, and it was asking, what would be worse, if someone walked in on you when you're masturbating or if someone walked in on you when you're having sex with a partner? Well, of course, like 95%, it would be worse masturbating. Unless, you know, I was having sex with my partner walked in with me and I was having sex with someone else.
Hilarious.
Right. Yes, there is that.
A lot of people like to actually the idea of getting caught. So,
well, I like
with
you
the
know,
partner.
I like the, you
but,
know, but Heather
but
has
not getting caught masturbating. We don't want to get caught masturbating.
But, yeah. But you know, when Heather was talking about while I looked in the computer cache and I found this, a lot of people, male and female, straight and gay, would have a problem with it because they would want to see what kind of sex it is, and they'd say to themselves, you know, he's into this kinky crap, and I'm not into it. No, not really. You know, there are some things that I would not want to do with my partner.
Exactly.
That is just fantasy.
Exactly. Which goes back to the porn thing. Sorry, go ahead.
No, but it could be that there are a number of things that are a little bit kinky that you'd like to do with your partner, but you're afraid to tell them or communicate with them. And it could be your partner would be perfectly happy to do those with you. Mm-hmm. So the question is, how do you find a common ground where you say, hey, that looks kind of good, that doesn't? One thing you might do is if you and your partner are okay looking at certain kinds of porn together, and couple-friendly porn, or maybe, you know, God knows how many Tumblrs there are that have interesting porn, and some couples have Tumblrs where they kind of chronicle their sex lives together, and some of them are really nicely done. And if you could kind of get in the habit of every once in a while looking at those together, and then maybe it'd be a little easier to say, look what they're doing there. Maybe we could try that sometime. Or
exactly.
Boy, that turned on.
And you have an example, and you're like, what do you think? And it's
yes
it
or helps
no.
to have props as opposed to just saying, hey, I'd really like it if you'd occasionally spank me.
Right.
But they're just, I don't know. And it's also interesting, again, survey after survey, we see women saying, I wish my partner were more take charge in bed.
Oh, yeah. We saw that at your site and wanted to discuss.
Yes, let's discuss that. So, yeah, women overwhelmingly wish their partner was more take charge. Can you explain what that means?
Well, again, take charge in a consensual way.
Yeah, not a rape.
It means not you don't rape me. Although, you know, certainly some women have that fantasy. But I think that the take charge, it's kind of interesting. I think it's a sense of he values me so much, or he's so turned on by me that he just can't,
he can't hold himself back.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you see on the cover of all those bodice-ripping little novels, the paperbacks, you know, it's like, he's so overwhelmed with passion. He's just got to tear my dress.
The Danielle Steele,
exactly.
The love novels, right.
Yeah, we love that stuff. And
right.
Again, speaking to fantasy versus reality and the rape fantasy thing, you know, you might play a little movie in your head where it's like, like a porn, like, the hot guy came to the office to fix the copier and we did it. Okay, but I would never do that in real life. But we could role play it, or I might enjoy that as a porn video or a fantasy of some sort.
Absolutely. Role playing is, some couples who can free themselves up to do role playing have a great time. And I think another aspect with the guy taking charge more is it maybe just feels good to be a little overpowered at times. And we still live in a culture where women, I mean, it still happens in high school. They're constantly slut shamed. They're constantly called, you know, women will call other women, you slut, if you slept around with, you know, four or five guys as opposed to a guy who does that, and he's like a stud, right?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there's something exciting about just being kind of ravaged in a nice way.
In a permissive way, yes, I think so for sure. But, you know, to your point about the social media thing, this just happened this past week at a Bay Area high school where there was slut-shaming going on the internet, and it turned out they got into a fist fight, and, you know, all of this, I don't know, it became unhinged. And that's that slut-shaming thing is a big problem with social media.
I forgot to tie this in together, but what I mean by the relationship with slut shaming is, if the guy is taking charge and he's in charge, then you really can't be the slut. You kind of,
yeah.
It relieves you from that part of it, and you can just kick back and say, "Boy, he's going to do what he's going to do, and I hope he does it in this way, this way, and this way."
Right.
So, as opposed to maybe if she says, "Well, I want you to do this, this, and this." Then it's not as good as if he magically knows what to do and does it.
All right. One of the other things that I wanted to talk to you about, by the way, if you're just joining us on this podcast, it is we're talking about The Guide to Getting It On Sexually with Dr. Paul Joannides. Yes. So for guys and maybe for most people, when they can't climax and it becomes a serious issue, I think it kind of builds on itself. What kind of advice do you have, doctor, for, you know, guys who can't climax? I mean, you know, most of the time, if they're not able to come at all when they have intercourse, it becomes an issue.
Okay. The official term for this is called delayed ejaculation. It used to be called retarded ejaculation. We'd say he's a retarded ejaculator, but you know, fortunately that term has kind of gone by the wayside. Just for your listeners who have ejaculation issues, whether it's premature ejaculation or delayed ejaculation, these are both at the opposite ends of the spectrum. I actually, on my website at guidetogettingiton.com, just enter either delayed or premature in the search, and you can download a free chapter from my book on each of those subjects.
Oh.
Because premature ejaculation is a very complex subject, and so is delayed ejaculation. So delayed ejaculation is interesting. One of the first things you want to see is, okay, has this always been a problem? Or did it just sneak up? Did it just start? Generally, it's kind of a lifelong problem for the vast majority of men who have it.
Oh, really?
If it just snuck up, man, you really want to get a physical exam and you want to go to a urologist and say, you know, this just started happening. It didn't happen until this past year. Because then there could be something physically going on. But when you take a man who maybe is kind of wired so that he's kind of slow to the trigger to begin with, and maybe he can get off if he masturbates, but he can't get off with intercourse with a partner. And we call that delayed ejaculation. And this is probably about 2% of men. There's very little research on it. We're just starting to learn more about it. There can be any number of causes. We think that, there might be a bit of a genetic component or an inborn neurological component. And there's been some theory that, it happens because a guy masturbates strangely or lays down face down when he masturbates or whatever. But the issue is, it could be that he has to masturbate that way because it's hard for him to have an orgasm to begin with.
Right.
So you don't know what's the chicken and what's the egg.
Exactly, cause effect.
It's very interesting. I had a woman who I just respect tremendously. She's a sex therapist and also teaches sex in a university in the Bay Area. And she ended up telling me, you know, my husband for 30 years had delayed ejaculation, really seriously. And we spent the first 10 or 15 years of our marriage with me trying to find ways to fix him. And she said, "God, I wish I could do it over again, because I wouldn't have spent a moment trying to fix him, because if we had just settled down and just had wonderful sex together, instead of me thinking, oh, there's something wrong with him because he can't ejaculate.
Right.
And it's also, I think, to some extent, not a great deal, but there's sort of a reverse misogyny going on. If a woman can't have an orgasm with intercourse alone, we say, hey, that's perfectly normal. That's okay. Don't be down on yourself. If a man can't have an orgasm with intercourse alone, we give him a diagnosis, a medical diagnosis. We say,
that's
you have
true.
Ejaculation.
It's with regard to expectations. Like, yeah, a lot of women don't come that way. Since it's more rare for men, we go, oh, what's wrong with him? Let's fix him. That's
yeah.
very interesting. Because I did date somebody like that, and it was kind of like, God, you're a normal, young, healthy man. What's going on here? And like you were alluding to at the same time, well, sex was really fun. It was very pleasurable. It wasn't horrible. And coming doesn't always have to be the point of it if you're having a good time and everybody's sliding around and happy and kissy face, right?
Yeah, well, there's some things that usually don't get discussed. And the first thing is the woman thinks the reason he's not going to can't ejaculate is because he's not really into me or
right.
he doesn't find me really hot. And so you need to discuss that with each other. And the fact is, usually the guy thinks she's incredibly hot. It has nothing to do with the woman at all.
Right.
Not being hot or sexual or him not really, really, really wanting her. So that's, excuse me, one thing to get out of.
Or that you're too hot and it makes him nervous and he can't come.
Yeah, well, we should have that problem. Dex is thinking, damn, I wish I had that one. The other thing is to discuss when we stop, okay? Because usually you stop once the guy ejaculates.
Right, but that's the ending, yes.
If a guy doesn't ejaculate, she's going to have to give him a signal as to, okay, let's, I'm good.
Right, I've had enough, yeah.
Well, I came.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I came,
yeah.
We're good. Let's do it.
Even you know, if she faked it. Right.
So you need to have that finish line. She needs to let him know. So you need to have a signal there, a code.
Well, let me, I just stumbled onto it in my head here. What about the faking it thing? And by the way, you know, I know that women can fake it, but, you know, guys can fake it too.
Yep. It can go both ways. And we ask guys, well, why do you fake it? Well, sometimes, you know, they'll say, it just wasn't into it. Or, I didn't want to let her down. Or she would have, you know, thought it was something she was doing. Or, in fact, a lot of reasons guys give for faking it are the same reasons women give.
Because they want it to be over?
Or the expectation. Or the expectation that, you know, both shall come and then we will end. Right. And that's just not... It's just not the reality of the situation all the
time,
especially
time, yeah.
when you're in a long-term relationship.
Yeah, and it can be all over the place. Now, there's certainly disagreements over whether it's a good thing to occasionally fake it or not. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be on an individual basis. Because on the one hand, if you fake it constantly, then the guy's never going to learn what he's not doing right. On
yeah.
the other hand... you know, maybe if you fake it occasionally, it will work fine. And sometimes women say, you know, I started to fake it, and then I got into the role so much that I ended up really enjoying myself.
Oh, interesting.
There's all sorts of, there's a huge range out there. So I really shy away from hard, fast rules about these things. It reminds me of, you know, again, our discussion about women's masturbation earlier. A woman on a survey said, I have an incredible relationship with my husband. The sex is incredible. And I usually masturbate after we're done.
You know, I want to go off the chart here a little bit and ask you, some sexual things about having sex and things that are included. Things such as poppers or getting stoned. What are you finding with those sort of things? I know in the gay guy world, you know, poppers are a big thing, and obviously nowadays marijuana comes into play.
Okay, poppers have a very interesting history. One time they were used in terms of for heart issues, right? people who had heart problems, if yours something was happening, you know, you'd pop the lid off this thing and you inhale it, and it would cause kind of a kick in adrenaline and everything. Then they started being abused. And then now the poppers you get, you really don't know what you're getting in them. So that's one issue.
Right, because there's no regulation at all on these things, is there?
Right. None. And so you don't quite know what you're getting. The interesting thing is there's a form of kink called erotic asphyxiation, where, you know, you've heard these boy baggers who will be found hanging dead. They've masturbated and they had a noose around their neck or whatever. Well, what they try to do is cut off the oxygen as they're about to have an orgasm. And for them, it can actually increase the sensation of orgasm. But sometimes their safety mechanisms don't work, mm-hmm. and the noose didn't get loosened, and the parents find them dead. And the kid had no intention of having a suicide, mm-hmm. but, you know, the parents will tell everyone, or the coroner will kindly say, well, he killed himself, because that's better than saying my son died masturbating with a rope around his neck. But poppers also give that same kind of sensation. And so what we generally say is, well, better you use poppers than erotic asphyxiation.
I'd say. Well, yeah, I know. But, you know, again, what you said earlier, it's not regulated and you don't know what you're getting.
They really aren't. Yep. You don't
they're
know.
They're both edgy.
Yeah, but especially in the gay community, and if they're still doing rages, you know, they're going to be doing the white drugs. They're going to be doing crystal meth. Then you've got the issue of crystal dick. And then, so, you know, maybe you take a boner drug to deal with crystal dick. And all sorts of things are going on.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the big things with, for instance, Grindr. A lot of those guys are just looking for the crystal meth, and then sex goes along with it.
Hmm. That's interesting. I'm not up on that. Is that...
Yeah, it seems to be a thing, you know, and I don't... Well, I mean, these people are drug addicts. I think they might as just might as well say what it is.
Grindr refers to the fact that they grind their teeth.
I don't know, but sounds
okay.
Let's talk
about
a scary world.
A more positive drug. Sex on pot is supposed to be great, right? This is something I haven't done yet, but I'm looking forward to trying.
It totally and completely depends. Now, first of all, when we say pot, okay, remember you've got two different types or species of pot. The indica and the sativa. Okay, one is the more mellow, kind of nice, mellow feeling. The other is more psychedelic.
Which is which, by the way?
I always forget.
I'm always forgetting, but I think it's the sativa that's the... Oh, God, your listeners are going to just crucify me if I've got it.
Well, and me too.
Well, march ahead, I'll look it up.
Right.
But the leaves actually look different. And one has a much higher percentage of THC. THC is the kick-ass psychedelic experience. And one has more CBD, and that is the more mellow experience.
Right.
Now, most of the pot that's been bred in the last 20 years, they've tried to really ramp up the THC to get it to be more of a trippy experience rather than a relaxed experience. The pot that... you may have heard about Charlotte's Web. They're starting to create strains of pot that have high CBD, but they're actually trying to give for kids with cancer and seizures disorders that can't be treated.
Yeah, medical.
Indica's the relaxing one, by the way. Yeah, I would
Indica's
think that's better for sex.
Okay. And then what you need to do with those is the indica types, they're... You have to harvest them earlier when the bloom isn't to full maturity to get the higher CBD, because as they go to full maturity, then the THC starts to spike. So it's a real issue. You don't get as much of a yield, and it's really hard to get a good CBD type of yield. So most of what you're getting out there is going to be more on the THC side. So again, a big part of how it's going to impact you sexually, it's going to depend on what you're actually smoking or eating or consuming.
Right, and what you want to be into, whether you want to be mellow or you want to be hallucinogenic. So if you want the if you want to be chill, you would be the sativa. Do I have that right?
Chill is indica. If you want to be flying around the room in the sex basket, then it's sativa.
Right, right on. You know, we get that right?
Yes. Unfortunately, it's not a straight linear thing. For some people, a little more THC can make a better experience. It just depends. So it's a very individual thing. Now, a number of women say they have some of their better sexual experiences when they're stoned. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's going to depend on what you're stoned with.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's related to a relaxed thing, but that's...
Well, when it becomes... I mean, if you have your medical marijuana card, you can experiment with it, and they have cross strains, too, so you can level it out, the indica,
well, if
sativa.
Well, if you're up here in Oregon, you don't need a medical marijuana.
Right, and that's coming, to a California near us this year when we vote on it. We know that. Hey, by the way, before we wrap things up with Dr. Paul Joannides with the guide to getting it on, I want to ask you something pop culture-wise. Kanye West was in the news recently with, this going back and forth, this Twitter war with this stripper that he used to go out with, Amber Rose. They had a relationship that went on for a long time, and it went south, it went sour, and then he got
She
with
was
Kim
calling him out on a certain sexual practice.
Right, she called him out on Twitter about finger up the butt, the whole anal thing. Now, that's all that was said, so I'm going to zip it right there because I'm not going to say anything else that wasn't said. But now I'm just wondering out loud personally, and people have been wondering, is that a gay reference?
Well, that's what she meant to say, but I think let's set the record straight.
It sounded like that, but again, not sure.
Yeah. Two things real quick. I'll get to that in just one second. The last thing about the marijuana is also it could increase a woman's sensitivity and feeling in her body. We don't know. That could be another thing, along with lowering inhibitions. Now, and some women report that it's a good experience, others don't. So it's all over the map. Now, in terms of finger up the butt, I don't know what she was specifically referring to, if he's on the down low or not. But in terms of, we're seeing, just more and more surveys of where both women and men are into, prostate massage, or women will be using a dildo on a guy or a strap-on. It's not an indication that he's gay. But on the other hand, a lot of gay guys don't like anal sex. So it's anal sex is kind of...
Thank you for saying that, yes.
Is sort of orientation neutral. We always associate it with gay guys. We think, oh, God, every gay guy in the world is taking it up the butt or giving it.
Well, that goes back to our conversation a half hour ago, it's take your clothes off. Oral sex and then anal sex. And that's not really the reality. You're right. All gay guys are not into anal sex.
And a lot of straight guys enjoy anal stimulation or enjoy having their prostate massage. So it's all over the map. There's nothing about your asshole that determines whether you're gay or straight.
Yay! Your asshole is totally neutral.
I love it.
It's orientation neutral.
I love it. Okay, so Dr. Paul Joannides is the author of The Guide to Getting It On. And Dr. Paul, what is your website again?
It's guidetogettingiton.com, and if your listeners want to sign up for the free newsletter, I try to get one out every week or two. We have a free drawing for the book for everyone who signs up. So.
And personally, I want to say the newsletter is awesome.
Yes. So thank you very much for joining us. A very good night to everyone, and a good night, we mean a very good, very, very, very naughty night. Yes.
Absolutely, especially in the studios of KGO.
Well, I can't wait to do it again with you, Dr. Paul.
That's why we love the podcast series. All right, thank you, and have a good evening.
Take care, you too, both of you.
Okay, you've been listening to the Drex Radio Show podcast series on KGO 810.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit Lowe's.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.